From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, negotiations on must-pass legislation, Biden campaigns on the economy, and the government's thoughts on the origins of COVID-19. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. With all of the distractions of potential corruption in the Biden family, the regular work of Congress doesn't get any attention. Well, there's an important piece of legislation called the National Defense Authorization Act, and it has to be passed. As a result, there's a significant amount of negotiation going on in the House. Joining Tony on Monday with his thoughts on the negotiations was Representative Mark Alford of Missouri. Here's Tony Perkins.
Congressman Alford, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony. We're live in our district office in Lebanon, Missouri, not too far from Fort Leonard Wood.
Well, I want to commend you. I watched part of the House Armed Services Committee hearing, and you worked very hard to try to purge these woke policies from our nation's military. Give us an update on where things stand.
Well, Tony, as you know, we've reached a critical point, a critical juncture in our nation's history with recruitment falling, missing our mark in the Army by 25% last year. The Navy just barely meeting its goal. The Marines did meet their goal. But as we're facing this pacing threat from communist China, we need every able-bodied American who wants to sign up to be in our military to do so. Only 9% of Americans' young people want to join the military. And there's a reason for that. I think we've talked about this before. We've lost a sense of patriotism in our country, but also the woke indoctrination of our young people, it creeping into our military, the drag shows that we're seeing on naval assets, ships, and on military bases. And also this digital advertising, digital ambassadors trying to recruit people into the military who agree with their woke lifestyle. We need to put an end to that. And last Wednesday, I'm proud to say I was part of a team of Republicans who did something about it. We are defunding these policies. We're getting rid of the drag shows on military bases. And we are eliminating some funding for CRT programs and also some of the organizations inside the military responsible for spreading this wokeness doctrine.
So you were able to amend the NDAA. Tell us what your amendments did in going after the CRT, the diversity, equity, and inclusion, and the drag queen activities on these bases.
Sure. We've got a long list of them. I'm going to read them. We're reining in the cost of training for CRT. We're eliminating the chief diversity officer of the Department of Defense. We're funding prohibition to promote critical race theory at service academies. We banned the drag shows and drag queen story hours, and we got rid of the digital ambassador program designed to do that, to bring more people into the military with woke ideology. These things together are going to work in concert to try to restore some sanity back to the process and in return get young people interested in joining the military again. When this story came out a couple of weeks ago about this yeoman, second class, who was a drag queen, still is, performing on ships and naval assets and a digital ambassador trying to get people to join up in the military and supported by our military to do so, I had people in our district, veterans, fathers and grandfathers, call our office and say, hey, I am not going to encourage my grandson or son or daughter or granddaughter to be in the military because it has gotten way out of hand. I think this is a first step in getting things righted in America with our military.
You're absolutely right. I hear that all the time. And this is undermining our nation's ability to recruit men and women who are willing to serve and, if necessary, lay down their lives for this country. What's the next step in this process, Mark?
I think the next step is as we move forward with a new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, it looks like it's going to be Secretary Brown from the Air Force, still has to go through confirmation. We need to make sure, and I've had conversations with him on the phone and also in committee, that we have the understanding that maybe Chairman Milley did not have, and maybe the Secretary of Defense Austin does not have, that we need for our generals to not be politicians, but to be generals and lead a patriotic army especially as we encounter the communist Chinese and this uncertain threat now from Russia and the instability there in Ukraine.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They need to go back to their primary mission, and that is to fight and win wars, period.
Exactly.
Congressman Alford, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. God bless, Tony.
You can find out more about Mark Alford when you visit tonyperkins.com. We also invite you to keep track of these important issues with our online news source, The Washington Stand. You can find that as well over at tonyperkins.com.
The persecution of Christians grows globally every year and continues to become more aggressive and dangerous. Family Research Council's Leila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares real and amazing stories from those who have faced religious persecution. Heroic Faith tells of the tragic circumstances Christians face due to opposition to their beliefs. The true stories in this book of faithfulness and devotion, in the midst of trials and danger, will provide encouragement and hope to all who read. Readers will also gather insights into the ideologies behind the aggression, what actions the U.S. government can take to help, and how they can aid these faithful believers. It's important for Christians to learn from their brothers and sisters who suffer persecution. Read the stories of these real heroes who have stood for their faith. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith.
What does Scripture reveal about the role of a man? What is God's unique design for men? And how can we faithfully and practically live out God's purpose for us to serve as provider, instructor, battle buddy, defender, and chaplain? To answer these important questions, Family Research Council's Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin and Dr. Keenan Cureton released their book, Strong and Courageous. It offers a battle plan for men on how to take on our God-given responsibility in a culture quickly running from God's good design. The authors present the Old Testament book of Joshua and his leadership as the focus of the study, asking readers to consider and apply the key principles of biblical manhood. It is crucial that men take on our role in the family and society and embrace the fact that God made us men for a reason. To get your copy of Strong and Courageous, a call to biblical manhood, go to frc.org/strongandcourageous. Again, that's frc.org/strongandcourageous.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Wednesday of this week, President Biden decided to highlight his so-called economic successes. While most of the country is still suffering from elevated prices on just about everything, it seemed an odd issue for the president to take a stand on. Joining Tony on Wednesday to discuss Bidenomics was Representative Dan Bishop of North Carolina. Here's Tony Perkins.
Congressman Bishop, welcome back to the program. Always great to see you.
Thank you, Tony. I'm glad to see you as well.
So let me just start with this, your reaction to President Biden's boasting about Bidenomics.
You know, Americans have had a lot of opportunity to wonder whether we're living in the same universe as President Biden. I mean, every time I go to the grocery store, go out to a meal, inflation continues. It's not just that inflation, it's sort of cooled from the headlines. And it's not at the, you know, record-breaking pace, but this is cumulative, Tony. People who suffered through 8% inflation plus, now we're at 5-something percent inflation per year, and it's continuing to mount, and it means your dollar doesn't go as far. People are suffering setbacks economically, and they're accumulative across the Biden administration. How he can tout that as a record of success is a mystery to me. And as you said, I thought your line at the beginning was that most Americans disagree, and that won't serve him well if that's what he's going to rely on in seeking election to another term.
Well, there is a poll, a recent poll by the Associated Press and Norick Center for Public Affairs Research that shows only 34%, basically one out of three Americans, agree that his economic policies are working. That is actually lower than his overall approval rating of 41%.
It's devastating. If there's an area, well, if you tried to pick out an area he's performed least well, I don't know, you'd have to get into foreign affairs and some other things, but certainly his economic outlook has and his policies, it's been a just massive spending at all points in time. Remember, before the midterm elections, Congress under the control of Democrats, and they spent $6 trillion basically over the course of, they've set it for spending over the course of 10 years on single party votes, and that generated the inflation that everyone's living with, and it continues to be the predominant feature of our present economy, and it's just damaging Americans. And that 1 in 3 figure that you cited reflects that experience.
Congressman, I've been in this arena for some time, bumping up to 30 years. So I know that Americans have kind of a short frame of reference. Unfortunately, they forget and move on. But the economy is one thing that they don't, because as you said, every time you go to the grocery store, you see this, you get sticker shock because your income is not keeping up with the pace of the cost in the rise in living. And so, you know, while we're not paying $5 a gallon, we were at the peak under his policies, it's only down to about $3. And they're touting that as success. I want to go back to what it was before they showed up and we were paying, $1.90 or less.
You're correct that people do tend to get accustomed to a particular gas price. It doesn't mean that it doesn't have deleterious impacts on our lives, but you do sort of settle in. But as you say, we haven't gotten back where gas prices used to be. And the thing about the continuing inflation is the shock keeps recurring. It's something, every month or so you're back in the grocery store and you say, well, how did that item get to be that price? And how do I make ends meet? Americans are going to persistently experience that until we go back to what we had solved for 40 years in this country, Tony. We had had nominal inflation, very low controlled inflation for 40 years. And that's what Biden's policies has destroyed.
Yeah. Well, so I want to switch gears on this because I think we're in agreement. I'm happy he's running on the economy because it's certainly not going to help him. Let's talk about another topic. You serve on the House Judiciary Committee. Last night, we saw one of the whistleblowers, the IRS whistleblower, Mr. Shapley, go on the legacy media and actually talk about this. So the legacy media is now paying attention to the Hunter Biden scandal. This tells me this thing is starting to get legs.
I think that's true. I don't, you wonder these days, since legacy media seems to be so freighted with bias and alliance with one party, which is to our great misfortune across the board. But does that mean that the policy or the political environment is shifting and President Biden is endangered? I don't know. But I will say this about Mr. Shapley. He is the epitome of what whistleblowers are supposed to be. At every point in time, he has proceeded in accordance with the law, and all of his commentary, everything that he has said has been about what a professional investigation would require and the ways in which that has been stymied by officials under the control of the Attorney General Merrick Garland.
So I want you to walk us through this. You've been tracking this as a member of the on the oversight of the Department of Justice, as a member of the Judiciary Committee. So walk us through this. What is unfolding? What is this all about?
Well, it's all about how the criminal conduct of Hunter Biden has been handled by the Justice Department. And as we know, the Attorney General Merrick Garland, in public testimony, has claimed precisely the opposite of what Mr. Shapley and another whistleblower are saying with regards to the investigation. And that raises questions of whether Mr. Garland has lied under oath. And Kevin McCarthy's commented about this. Jim Jordan, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, will be in the Judiciary Committee where we get to the bottom of that and thoroughly investigate these conflicting claims.
You have the Attorney General in Delaware, the district or the U.S. Attorney in Delaware, Mr. Weiss, saying that his hands were tied. You have now two whistleblowers saying that their investigation was blocked. But you have the Attorney General saying, no, they had free rein. They could do what they wanted to do. Someone's not telling the truth.
That's right. That's right, Tony. Mr. Weiss testified in the Senate that the U.S. Attorney in Delaware, Mr. Weiss, had been advised he had full authority. He could bring cases in other jurisdictions. That's an important point.
that he wasn't to be denied anything that he needed, and that he had the pledge of the Attorney General not to interfere with the investigation. He said he'd live by that pledge, but Mr. Shapley tells a different story, says that he couldn't, Weiss could not charge people outside Delaware, that there's another U.S. attorney, Matthew Graves, that he prevented Mr. Weiss from charging Hunter in another jurisdiction. And he also asked for special counsel status, Mr. Weiss did, where he would have complete independence from the Department of Justice, and was denied that. So these are all very, very troubling things. Mr. Shapley goes on and talks about the ways in which investigative leads needed to be pursued, that at one point Hunter's, well, the White House was tipped off to a warrant being served against him. You know, there are allegations about an assistant U.S. attorney who consistently hesitated to move forward with actions that needed to be taken in the investigation. So it's very serious. And Jim Jordan, I've heard him say now multiple times on TV, I anticipate hearing when we get back from recess, we're going to be digging into all of this, and we need to get these various people in front of our committee or in front of a transcribed interview.
Unfortunately, we're out of time here, but we're just talking about kind of the criminality of investigating crime. We're not even talking about the crime itself, which has links to communist China and payoffs that may have gone not just to Hunter Biden, but to what was described as the big guy.
Right. People have become familiar with that WhatsApp message that has been revealed, where Hunter claims that the president of the United States, well, then not then president, but Joe Biden, was in the room with him when he was threatening, you know, essentially coercing payment of millions of dollars from an agent of the Chinese communist government.
And after that WhatsApp message, $5 million flowed to Hunter Biden, according to reports.
Yes,
Congressman
sir.
Dan Bishop, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Likewise, Tim.
You can find out more about Dan Bishop when you visit TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
We live in a culture that has lost sight of what is true. Many, including Christians, are searching for answers to life's most important questions. Research from George Barna shows just 9% of self-identified Christians demonstrate a biblical worldview by living out what God has revealed in Scripture. With this in mind, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview has partnered with Summit Ministries to present Now We Live, a free 6-episode video series designed to encourage worldview discussions central to the Christian faith. Each episode offers practical instruction led by well-known Christian voices like Tony Perkins, Jeff Myers, Kirk Cameron, Lee Strobel, and others. Now We Live is an excellent discipleship resource for churches, small groups, and families. Equip yourself and other Christians about what it means to have and live a biblical worldview. Access this important series by going to frc.org/worldview.
Are you tired of worn-out talking points, misleading media bias, and hopeless commentary? You need a new source you can trust. The Washington Stand, Family Research Council's online news platform, provides readers with free, reliable news and commentaries, all from a biblical perspective. Based in Washington, D.C., our reporters provide the facts on the biggest stories of the day, ranging from updates on critical Supreme Court cases to coverage on the latest public education stories to the newest developments in domestic and international religious liberty issues. The Washington Stand covers all of this and more. If you want to stay up to date and informed on what's going on in the U.S. and around the world that impacts faith, family, and freedom, then check out the Washington Stand. Just go to WashingtonStand.com. Stay in the know, be encouraged, and stand firm in truth by visiting WashingtonStand.com today.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On the 23rd of July, the Biden administration was required to submit its report on the origins of COVID-19, yet they only presented to Congress a 10-page summary in clear defiance of the law. Joining Tony on Wednesday to discuss it was Gordon Chang. Here's how Tony got things started.
Last Friday, instead of declassifying information related to potential links between the Wuhan Institute of Virology and the origin of the coronavirus disease as required by law, the Biden administration simply released a 10-page summary of the findings. Now, this demonstrates the Biden administration is not only running from accountability for unscientific lockdowns and mandates, but from transparency with the American people. Why are they afraid to share the information with the people they work for, the American people? Joining me now to discuss this is Gordon Chang, a distinguished senior fellow at the Gatestone Institute. He's author of The Coming Collapse of China and the Great U.S.-China Tech War. You can follow him on Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony.
So, Gordon, the White House finally released something regarding the origins of COVID after Congress passed a law, but it was a mere summary of their findings, not the intelligence that the classified intelligence that was required by the law. Why do you think there's a lack of transparency here?
I think the Biden administration doesn't want to anger Beijing. And if they were to release the underlying intelligence, which is required by the COVID origins law of 2023, then we would find out things, and I think Beijing would throw a hissy fit. And that's the last thing that the Bidens want to do. So really what we're having here is the guy in the Oval Office is covering up the greatest mass murder in history, or at least of this of our times. And, you know, he's basically sided with the Communist Party over the American people. And let's remember that COVID has killed almost 7 million people, according to Johns Hopkins, probably more. And of that total, 1.1 million Americans were comprised of that. So clearly, we've got an administration that is more on China's side than it is on ours.
So from this 10-page report, and I've read through the report, and even some of it is redacted, what did we learn? Did we learn anything from this summary?
Actually, we didn't. Remember in 2021, Biden prepared an unclassified summary of a 90-day investigation. And we basically learned the same things this week that we did 2 years ago. What we really need is the underlying documentation and the underlying intelligence. Even if redacted, I think that we're going to find out a lot. And the Biden administration doesn't want us to see that.
There have been, in this, and it's really just a hodgepodge because they said this, they said that, and so there's no conclusions based upon what they have here. And even suggesting that, well, it didn't look like it came from the lab. It could have been natural in its occurrence. But then there are reports that said this was engineered, and even some in China saying that this was a bioweapon. What are we to make of this?
Well, I think it's essentially that the administration is summarizing the evidence because they don't want us to see the underlying documents. We know that the circumstantial evidence is overwhelming for a lab leak because you have researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The first three were actually technicians there. And you know, the zoonotic theory just doesn't hold water. Here you have bats in southern China, gave it to an intermediary mammal that traveled, 700-800 miles north and then infected a human only within like a couple miles of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is essentially a biological weapons lab. You know, that doesn't really make sense to anybody, except, of course, for those who want to protect the Communist Party of China.
When you take this, I mean, when you look at this in the totality of what's happening with the Biden administration, Hunter Biden, payments from China, is there a connection here?
There's certainly a pattern. You have, for instance, an administration that is reluctant to talk about fentanyl in candid terms. We know that China runs a near total or total surveillance state. The fentanyl gangs could not operate without the approval of the Communist Party. The Chinese central government diplomats support the fentanyl gangs. The gangs launder their money through the Chinese state banking system. And what we have is 65,000 to 75,000 Americans last year died from doses of illegal fentanyl from China. And again, you have an administration that is siding with the Communist Party against the American people. You know, Xi Jinping did not get to vote for the president, but it looks like he's determining what the president of the United States does. You know, tens of millions of Americans got to vote. you know, we've been disenfranchised by Biden.
So, Gordon, what would you recommend Congress do now? Given the limited information they have in this report, what should be their next step?
You know, my next step would be the nuclear one. I would deny all funding for the intelligence agencies until they release the underlying documentation. You know, people, we have an FBI, we have a CIA, you know, and I'm sure they do some good things, but on balance, I'm really starting to wonder whether they serve the American people. So I'd say to them, look, if you don't do this, we're just not going to fund you. This has got to be, we American people have got to make a point that this government is run for us. It's not run for foreign countries, and especially it's not run for our enemy, the Communist Party of China.
A final question for you, Gordon Chang. Clearly, I mean, I would agree with you. I think there's an effort to try to cover for China. But is there more here that would undercut our own government's response to COVID and may impact how we deal with these pandemics in the future?
Well, we've got to worry about that because we know that Chinese researchers are working on specific ethnic genetic attacks, which are pathogens that will leave the Chinese immune and kill everybody else. And that's what they were working on at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So we've got to prepare for the next pandemic. We've got to establish deterrence on China so they won't release that pathogen. And, you know, this is mortal. This is an existential threat. So that's why I think extreme solutions are called for right now, because we got our backs against the wall, Tony. And I think that if we were to withhold funding, I think the I think that the Biden administration would have no choice but to release the underlying documentation.
I think you're right. I think Congress is going to have to play the hardball with this administration and with the intelligence community. And that's really the only thing that Congress can do. The Republicans in Congress and the House have the purse strings, and they can tighten them until they get answers. Gordon Chang, always great to see you. Thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
Oh, well, thank you, Tony. I really appreciate it.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.